Another thing I saw in the new creatures is a fascination with mirrors as opposed to windows, and looking through things and having things look back at you.
And it's I know, and it's interesting because that book was mainly written when I was very naive, so it wasn't something that was born out of any great awareness of the universe or anything. It was a very naive little book, you know. Somehow, for me, it holds up a lot of it.
Does it bother you in a way that, because you've got this written down, or because you've made some statement, the position that you're in, that people keep throwing it back at you like I'm doing?
Well, it always amazes me that people think you're 2 years younger than you are. You know, I guess that's why you have to keep doing interviews. You know, it's like seeing baby pictures or something. It's uh-huh. kind of embarrassing and funny at the same time.
You mean the old interviews?
Well, no, I mean, interviews, I've always said about what I thought, you know, but just people believe old press clippings or something, you know, and mm-hmm. remember a couple years ago when all that stuff was going on? Well, people still remember all that, you know. I think it fulfilled a need people had, you know, for some figure who would represent a lot of things, so they created this thing. I had a good time.
A lot of the things you said were, it seems to me, you know, now it seems to me perhaps calculated to get this kind of thing, referring, you know, your music being part of the Wild West.
Yeah.
And, your erotic politics, is that what you said?
Erotic politics, yeah. Well, you know, I think more than writing music and as a singer, any of that, I think my greatest talent was for, I had an instinctive knack for self-image propagation. You know, I was very good at manipulating publicity, just with a few little phrases like that, because having grown up on television and mass magazines and all that, I knew instinctively what people would attach onto, and so I just dropped these little jewels here and there, very innocently and.
People
seemingly innocently, and of course, you know, it was like just calling signals, you know.
Do you think that's what the appeal of the Doors was, or is?
I think we were very timely. The music and some of the ideas are very timely. They seem kind of naive now, but I remember a couple of years ago, people were into some very weird things. You know, there was a high energy level, and you could say things like that and almost half-ass believe it. You know, whereas now it seems very naive. And no, I think it was a combination of good musicianship and timeliness. Mm-hmm. And we may have been one of the first. Groups to come along that were openly self-conscious about being performers. In other words, reflecting on our own career as it was happening.
Yeah. Is it going to be? Do you foresee a change because in your music now and the things that you're going to be recording today?
Yeah.
Are there going to be less conscious of? Are they going to be as trend conscious or?
Well, it's not that we were trend conscious. We were doing exactly what we would have done anyway. But it came at the right time when you could get away with expressing sentiments like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I'm sure we would have done the same thing anyway. Well, for example, the first album is not really socially conscious at all. It's very it's just very universal, personal statements. And then each one, we've got a little more socially aware of the whole landscape, and perhaps to the detriment of the music, I'm not sure. Although there were a couple of, I never thought of any of the songs as being political in that sense. They were more, really, they could, as we traveled around and played to large groups of people, then some of the words couldn't help reflecting the things that I ran into, you know, traveling around. That was mainly it. It wasn't any conscious program. But in answer to your original question, I think that probably the things we record now get back to the blues, essentially, is what we do best, is blues. And I think we may even do a couple old blues and some blues of our own. And so,
by blues, I kind of
just your basic blues. You know.
But I still hear the, you know, that kind of driving Doors.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good blues. It won't be like it won't be like a guy with a guitar playing the blues. It'll be electric blues. You know. But blues, nevertheless. I hope. You know, you never know. When you start an album, you have one idea, and it could end up entirely different. But that's what I'm going to push for, is that's the music I enjoy doing the best. It's the most fun to sing. I like jazz also, but you don't need a singer really for jazz.
that would just cut you.
Yeah.
Cut you out.
But those guys really, they ought to do some instrumentals. I've always pushed for that, but they've been reluctant to do it. I wish they would. With three guys, you know, with a drummer and just two instruments, these guys put out a lot of music, you know, a lot of sound, and it's...
What did you think when, again, I think it was in the Rolling Stone interview, when you added the line, "Father, I want to kill you," and it freaked them at the whiskey, and that terminated the thing. How did you react when people were reacting that way to things you were singing?
Well, I like any kind of reaction I can get. So I enjoy it. Just anything to get, I guess, to get people to think, you know. I mean, if you can get a whole club full of drunk, stoned people to actually wake up for a minute, I mean, you're doing something. Because that's not what they come here for. It's to just to lose themselves, you know.
Do you think you'll be able to do that as well in film as you've been able to do in person?
I don't see why not. I got an instinctive feeling for the film media. I think I'll do pretty good at it.
The things I've noticed, that when someone puts down a good film, the best reaction they can get, if it's good to the same intensity that the Doors are when they're playing, is that people walk out on it. Is it?
Well, see, I like that kind of thing because I've never thought that an audience should be as passive as they become, and so let's just say, I think an audience should be an active participant in creating what's happening, and you can even do that with a film, you know. For example, it's up to you to close your eyes anytime you want. Or get up and walk out for 5 minutes and come back, and that makes an entirely different movie, right? Than what a person would see if they just sat dutifully through it from beginning to end.
Did you try and do a live performance as part of Feast of Friends in San Francisco? Did it close with someone told me that
Did we show that up there? I think we may have at one time. Yeah.
Or have you done that?
Oh, we did that at the Aquarius. We showed it after the concert was over. We showed that film. But that doesn't mean anything, you know. That was just because we'd made this film that we thought was really neat, and no one wanted to distribute it or anything, so we'd just show it whenever we could. Because it was worth seeing, you know. And I'm glad we made it. It'll be a good document of that era.
Do you find that people are more willing to accept your films, or more willing to dismiss your films, knowing either your notoriety or your background as a singer?
I think I may get a chance to make a film because of that notoriety. I'll probably get one chance, you know, and if it doesn't really make it, it will be very hard to get another chance. But I think almost anybody can get one chance these days to make some kind of film. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're doing it, if the film is what you really want to do, is it? Do you find it's getting in your way when it's Jim Morrison, rock singer, comma director? You know, you probably have that after your name. You know,
they always want a soundtrack or something. You know. Mm-hmm. Or even have the audacity to want you to play a singer in a movie, play yourself in a movie.
Yeah, well that's been...
But since I'm not really interested in acting, it doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah, okay, why don't we? Yeah, that'll... it depends.
I'm stealing some ice.
Oh, my turbos.
I've stopped enjoying a lot of it.
How can you go to that much music?
I don't know. I made for me sometimes, so I put up with it. I guess I don't know. It's part of it's just a job, but every once in a while you catch a really good performance that makes it all worthwhile.
Who have you seen that you like lately?
Last night I saw Richard Pryor, which really amazed me.
I hear he's gotten a little saltier than he used to be on TV.
Just downright risque, dirty. That was the only time I've been afraid to take pictures, because I was sitting in the back, and I was the only photographer there at the time, and I just clicked way in back, at the bitter end, and he goes, "Stop the show, I hear a camera." Put it down real quick, you know.
What was he worried about that for? He just didn't
nothing. Just as a part of the
routine.
Part of the routine. And then eventually, I came up front and he stopped the show and, you know, started posing for me, which was sort of fun.
Well, was there big crowds there?
There was, surprisingly. When we got there, there was very few people, and we thought it was going to be, you know, another night at the empty bitter end. And it filled up, almost full.
What do you listen to?
I don't listen much. I really don't. I never did, you know. I kind of came along when rock and roll, the old rock and roll was the big thing, and like I guess a lot of people knocked me out. And then I discovered blues in college. I like that. And if I'm ever going to listen to anything these days, I like jazz. So, but man, there's just so much music. You can't. It's like swimming in a sea of marshmallows or something. You can't. It's all over, everywhere.
Well, there's. I've seen perhaps like 3 or 4 performances in the last 6 months or so that I, you know, thought were exceptional. And I've stopped going to a lot of places, like the Whiskey. Unless there's someone that I desperately want to see, I won't go there. Or someone that, you know, there's some kind of attraction to go see them. One was Pink Floyd, if you've heard them at all.
I think they're... The only thing I've heard is
the things in Zabriskie Point is the beginning and the end, and they knocked me out. And I've heard a few. I heard them in Hyde Park. I happened to be in London when they were. They did a free concert in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
And, I could listen to them a lot.
They were. That was, you know, an exceptional performance. Elton John, as a performer, was.
In fact, when I heard them and when I heard Miles a few times at the Manhole and at the Isle of Wight, I couldn't believe that he got it together to do the Isle of Wight. And I mean, it was. I thought it was good. This new sound he has now. When I heard those two things, I said to myself, well, see, I'm not a musician, so I wouldn't know how to. All I knew was there was something there, and I figured if we couldn't go in that direction, you know, and get complex like that, then best for us to do what we can really do best, which is blues. I don't think we'll ever. It would, I don't know. I guess Pink Floyd's been together quite a while doing that kind of music, haven't they? They're not an overnight thing. Of course, Miles is, you know, music's been his whole life. So I guess you can't get into that thing overnight. But.
Yeah. And some people I've seen have just been fun to see. Linda Ronstadt is fun to watch perform.
I really like her voice a lot.
Yeah. She's gotten a lot more relaxed on stage.
She's one of my. In fact, we played with her one time in Boston and some other city back east.
She was talking about Boston. I think. Really.
I really enjoy it. I don't think she had a band that she'd been with for very long, and that didn't help it.
She has that problem regularly.
I also like that the singer in. Mother Earth? No.
Tracy.
Yeah, I really like her.
Oh, she destroys me. I just listened to her album, the original album this morning, Bounce Solo on it, Mother Earth.
Oh, she's incredible. Another like Bessie Smith. She was the one like Bessie Smith?
I don't know, she's great.
I have a friend, a girl. That's married to a friend of mine, and she only sings for friends. And I think if she ever performed publicly or on record, she'd be one of the great singers. I won't say any more about it, but there are nothing like a good female singer, you know? There are not that many. I mean, the ones that I like, personally.
Have you ever seen a group called Pollution?
No, I've heard they're quite good.
There's a chick, a little dumpy chick that sings with them. She's got a voice.
There's Gail Hannis.
That's not good. Someone else told me that.
Gail Hannis and Joe Mama has a nice voice.
I haven't seen them either. That's good.
I think everyone's trying to sort of get into Janis Joplin's place, you know, and
but there's a void that needs to be filled.
I don't think it needs to be filled.
Oh, I do.
I think there's a void, and voids are just fine.
I mean, I just really feel a lack for that kind of a singer, a good chick blues singer. I listen to Bessie Smith over and over again.
Yeah, but as soon as you have someone like that, then the people want to kill them or something and get a new one.
Not me.
Well, you know, I actually don't know a thing about jazz. But for me, what it means is a kind of music that's based on improvising. In which you start out a set and you have an idea of the steps that it might go through, but it could turn it into something different. And when I see to me there's a show where where they know exactly what they're going to do every step, and they come out and do a lot of songs. And then there's another type of music where you can feel the musicians reaching, and that's the kind that I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
and it can be in any music. It doesn't have to be what we call jazz. That to me, that's what jazz means.
Well, I know you get someone like Blood, Sweat, and Tears comes out and just does a set, and it's perfect, and they split. Yeah. And the band does the same thing. They come out and they're perfect, and they sound exactly like their albums, and then they split. And it leaves you with a kind of feeling that you might have stayed home and watched the album.
Yeah, Sly and the Family Stone's concert was like that. It was very irritating. I mean, everybody up, and everybody got up and screamed and yelled. it was just very irritating, because his music didn't warn, it wasn't stimulating the audience to, get up.
I'm going to ask you a question that I was going to, that I was just going to go back to the past of mm-hmm. rock thing. Forget it.
That's all right.
Oh, it was just about power feeling that you had, where you could have said something like, okay, let's rush the stage. And you knew that the people would have rushed the stage. And is that, what did that do for your head at those times?
Well, I did that a few times just because I'd always heard about these riots at concerts. And we thought, we ought to have a riot in the last case. So I tried to stimulate a few little riots, And then after a few times, I realized it's such a joke because it doesn't lead anywhere. It's just, but you know what? It got to the point where people didn't think it was a successful concert unless everybody jumped up and ran around a bit. It's a joke. Because it leads nowhere. I think it would be better to do a concert and just keep all that feeling submerged, and so when everyone left, they'd take that energy out on the streets or at home with them, rather than just expending
creatively,
it.
Kind of.
Yeah, instead of expending it uselessly in a little crowd explosion.
That's probably what Donovan was trying to do in those times. Which I guess is about the same time.
I never saw his work.
Well, his
laid back kind of thing.
Yeah, his thing was, keep quiet, I'm singing. everything's beautiful, kind of flowers, quiet. But it worked with the same people that were going crazy at Door concerts or, at the Beatles or just screaming their heads off, and this seemed to work. Maybe he wanted to see if he could incite a piece.
the places I always enjoyed working were places about the size of the Aquarius Theater.
Santa Monica City.
Yeah, bigger than a club, but not a sports arena. It's somewhat like an old theater. That's where I think that our particular brand of magic worked best in a theater situation. In outdoor concerts, I've always known it. What we do just gets totally dissipated. It doesn't work at all.
Oh, another performer that I saw that really did something was James Taylor, and also Carole King. Carole King kind of, I don't know why. Yeah, she's got this magic. When you stop and realize that she's, all the time you were growing up and listening to songs like Up on the Roof and things like that, that she'd been writing all those things. And then she comes out and still does contemporary songs that are, as powerful as those things were banal, but with the same kind of power.
Yeah. Up on the roof wasn't banal. Does she do mainly her own songs, or does she do a lot of other people's material?
Her own.
Yeah. She's written so much. She has a catalog.
I think occasionally she'll do a James Taylor song or something. And she's been playing with James Taylor. James Taylor has got this kind of, what's popular now probably is this relaxed feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Single guitar,
acoustic, you know.
I miss more good music because a couple years ago I got 86 from the Troubadour. I tried to get in since then. They won't let me back in the club. I miss more good music that way. But,
How is your reputation of
Hey, Russ.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good.
Your reputation as drinker has developed. Is this intentional? Is this part of your knowing what you can do with your image? You enjoy drinking in an event? This could be off the record if you want.
I went through a period where I drank a lot. I think I had a lot of pressures hanging over me that I just couldn't cope with. And I think also drinking is it's a way to cope with living in a crowded environment, and it's also a product of boredom more than anything. I think people drink because they're bored. But I do enjoy drinking. It's, it loosens people up and it stimulates conversation sometimes. And then, I don't know, it's like gambling somehow. It's, you go out for a night of drinking, you don't know where you're going to end up the next day. You know? It could work out good, and it could be disastrous. So it's kind of a throw of the dice.
It's the disastrous ones that people remember.
Right.
But a lot of what was popular. Even as far as drugs and drinking seems to have died down or mellowed out or something.
Well, I don't know. I think there seem to be a lot of people shooting smack and speed and all that. I think it went from and everybody smokes grass.
Yeah.
I guess you don't consider that a drug anymore.
Well, no.
But 3 years ago, there was that wave of hallucinogenics, and then I don't think anyone really has the strength to sustain those trips forever. And so then you go into narcotics, in which alcohol is one. Instead of trying to think more, you try and kill thought with alcohol and heroin. Downers, they're painkillers. I think that's what people have gone into.
You're getting into painkillers?
No, I think. I figured it. Alcohol for me, because it's traditional, and also I hate scoring, you know. I hate the kind of sleazy sexual connotations of scoring from people. So I never do that. That's why I like alcohol. You can go down to any corner store or bar, and it's right across the table. You know?
Incidentally, in that same Rolling Stone, there's an article about a group in San Francisco doing manufactured 10 joints to a pack or 20 joints to a pack cigarette things that they're selling out in the open, declaring it legal. I think so, yeah. Yeah, in cigarette packages. That might take take some of the edge off. At least take some of the ritual off of the whole drug scene.
I guess marijuana is not really what you'd call a drug anymore.
Yeah, this seems to be a way of life, more or less.
Part of the regular daily diet.
Really? I just can't function if I'm stoned. I function perfectly well, you know, I sit and stare at something or listen to music for 4 hours, but that's not what I consider functioning. You know.
I can't either. Well, what happens is they smoke so much and so constantly that it's not a trip anymore. It just becomes, I think they build up a cellular tolerance for it. It just becomes part of their body chemistry. And they're not really that, they're beyond stone. They're just...
It's really, really a treat now for me, because I get so stoned every time I get stoned. It's so good.
Boy, it's chilly in L.A. I guess this is the closest to winter we ever get here.
This is why all those people came to California, I guess.
I just came out here a couple of years ago, and when it rains, I just refuse to accept the fact, because it's always sunshiny in California, and it never rains. So.
I love rain.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought...
You get to really like things like that out here, because it's always like this.
Well, I went back to New York.
Pray for snow.
I went back to New York, and it was just so... dirty and grimy and just
that's
terrible. And it started to rain, yeah. It started to rain in Manhattan. I said, wow, this is going to be great. This is going to be something, you know. It's going to wash all this shit away. And the rain started, I had a white shirt on. The rain started landing on the shirt and leaving little brown spots. I just said, you know, like, this is all over. And then,
yeah.
You
know? No longer does rain clean my car even. I used to.
Yeah.
Far out, my car's going to get washed. Like, Manhattan's just dirtier than the before.
Well, at least, you know, you can see that hill after it's been kind of rainy weather.
Yeah.
And I've been,
cool
I guess like, you can sit here and not see that hill on a bad day. Have you read any Buckminster Fuller?
Unfortunately, I haven't. Some friends of mine like him, and I've meant to, so I know some of his ideas you're talking about, but...
Yeah, when you start to get depressed about the fact that the air is brown, and that, you know, you're dying just by breathing, and things like that, you read Buckminster Fuller, and he sort of says, it's okay, we're going to put a geodesic dome over it, and pump out the air, next year, you know.
Right.
It makes the voice scary, because then it becomes a reality.
Which, the dome, or the other thing?
I hear that he owns part of an island in the Mediterranean, and he's off Crete or somewhere, and he's going to invite people from all over the world to
do a community.
Do a, I suppose, a kind of utopia, a
yeah.
Utopian city there, which ought to be very interesting to watch. I know a lot of people would like to be invited. I wonder if they take applications or how he's going to choose.
This sort of thing is very special. There's a city outside of Pondicherry, India called...
Can I have a vodka, Collins? You want another one? One more for the end.
I can't drink any more tomato juice though, too cold then. I'll just have a glass of red wine.
Red wine?
Yeah.
More coffee or anything?
No, I'm probably up for a beer though.
We have Budweiser, Michelob, Lowenbrau.
Lowenbrau?
Have you ever heard of that city, Auroville, that's outside of Pondicherry, India?
No.
The Universal City of Life?
No, it's
you know, it's based on the teachings of Sri Aurobindo. And presently led by, I guess you would say, spiritually led by, and physically led by, I'm going to call the mother. you really have to go through a lot to get in that place. I mean, you really have to be accepted on it.
Is this in India?
Yeah,
I know some people that tried to go there, and they got as far as London, and they kept sending telegrams, could they go,
yeah,
and they kept getting no's.
No,
and they just kept getting closer, and they kept getting more no's. They never got in. I think if I were to start an Ideal City, I wouldn't tell anyone. So that would be your first bad step. You'd have interviewers there, yeah, first thing.
Yeah, you can dissipate too many ideas in interviews. You really can. Mm-hmm. But I also believe in the interview as a new art form. And some of the most interesting things I've read recently have been self-interviews by writers. I think they're fascinating.
I could see that.
Did he do one?
Yeah, Playbill, and they also read a piece that appeared somewhere else.
The thing that was in the theater, the Tabor program.
Yeah, he wrote this review of himself.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. You understood it.
Harvey's off in Denmark right now, I guess. That's great.
I just got a postcard from him that said he had met my favorite actress, and that Kim Stanley. And that she was this and this and that and that, witty and charming and beautiful and gorgeous and intelligent and attractive and fabulous. Everything you'd expect her to be.
What was she doing, a film over there, or a play, or what? Maybe doing one of his plays.
Four or five years.
Great. How did Rosebud do? That's good. He got pretty good reviews.
Well, I guess Harvey was carrying around a review that he loved personally that was from someone in Orange County, some small paper, that ripped the play apart on the basis of four-letter words, and it just went on and on, and the fellow concluded by saying, "And to think I brought a lady to see this play."
And they didn't leave, did they?
I don't know. They might have. Yeah. Well, Harvey was going around trying to figure out some way to meet this person without the guy knowing who he was. just to tell you. What? Dress up as the little guy. I thought it was fantastic.
This play gave you nuts to do something?